His paintings joke and provoke, play and frighten, bemuse and weep. Arthur Boyd's work is not for the faint of heart. He was one of Australia's truly great artists, certainly one of the most prolific, and a retrospective of a very specific part of his work, his landscapes, is touring around Australia over the next few years. The exhibition is called Landscape of the Soul, and the curator of the exhibition is Barry Pearce, Emerita Curator of Australian Art at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And Barry joins me now from Sydney. Barry, hello.
Hi, Ed.
Now, Barry, we have some Mozart playing that you can hear from the Magic Flute, the overture. This music was particularly loved by Arthur Boyd, I think, from what you were saying.
Well, I think Mozart was probably Arthur's favourite composer, as it was for Sidney Nolan, his brother-in-law. I suspect when Arthur went to live with his grandfather when he was 16 in 1936... His grandfather was playing, listening to classical music on the radio all the time.
And this is Arthur Merrick Sr.
This is Arthur Merrick Sr. And Arthur remembers listening to opera, particularly to opera. And I'm sure that's when he first heard the Magic Flute. But there's a wonderful story that connects with that. Near the end of Arthur's life, I guess 10 years before he died, Geoffrey Dutton suggested that they do something for the anniversary of Mozart's death in 1991. And he said, let's do an Australian production of The Magic Flute.
Oh,
and Arthur, yes, of course, was overjoyed. You know, it was like something he'd long had in his DNA or in his bloodstream from way, way back, listening to opera with his grandfather back then as a teenager.
Yeah.
And so, Mozart stayed with him. Nolan famously said, if I go to heaven, I expect to hear music. And someone said, well, what music do you want to hear in heaven? He said, Mozart, anything by Mozart, anything at all.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And someone said, and then this person said, this interviewer said, well, if you can't hear Mozart in heaven, what will you do? He said, well, I'll just go somewhere else.
That's very good. Thank you, Barry. Now, Barry, back to Arthur Boyd. Can you just sort of give us a quick overview of his life? Why is he such an important artist?
His genius really emerged seamlessly out of a wonderful family. You know, his grandparents were both very good landscape artists and had exhibited at the Royal Academy. His father was a potter, ceramist, and his mother was actually a very good painter, although we don't see much of her work.
That's Doris.
Mm. She was bringing up five children, and it was pretty tough. And Merrick was not easy as a husband. And one of the reasons was nothing to do with his fault, but he had epilepsy, and he suffered very bad seizures and strange contortions in his personality because of that. So Doris had it tough, but Doris was really the one who encouraged her children to become artists, to live creative lives. So Arthur was kind of blessed in that way. He just emerged seamlessly out of that lovely family coalescence of creativity.
And did he study formally?
Well, he did night classes at the National Gallery School in Melbourne, but he was more interested in walking through the collection at night on the way to classes and seeing what was on the walls. He didn't seem to be very impressed by the teachers that he had, but he tried hard to learn something formally, but basically he was self-taught, and he had everything he needed from his family.
Yes.
He didn't really need to go to art school.
Barry, when did you first meet Arthur Boyd?
I met him, I suppose, a couple of years after he purchased Bundanon. He and Yvonne purchased Bundanon in 1979.
And this is the property that they gave to the government.
This is the one, this is the part of the property
the
he
country.
Gave to the people of Australia, working with Paul Keating. And it was actually Tim Storrier. Tim Storrier had been to Bundanon and visited him and came back and said, you know, Barry, Arthur's had a falling out with the National Gallery of Victoria way back in 75. They were going to do his first big retrospective in Australia, but they cancel it. And now he lives half of his time in New South Wales. Let's take it on for the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
Yeah.
And so really it started then. He brought Arthur and Yvonne in, and I met them, and we got on, and Arthur, we seemed to like the same things. It was very easy to, well, it's easy to love Arthur, you know, on first introduction, but somehow we just talked about the same things in the same passion. And then he invited me to stay with him and Yvonne in England, in Suffolk, in their keeper's cottage. So I spent a couple of nights there, and they said, okay, you can tell me everything you want about what you have in mind for a retrospective, and we'll see how we go from there.
So you curated the retrospective in 1993 of Arthur Boyd's work. What is the role of the curator? Because Arthur Boyd was famously extremely prolific, wasn't he?
Well, we had the same problem as Sid. I call it a problem, I guess, but it's just the prolific nature of them was quite formidable. Both Sid and Arthur, and Arthur did thousands and thousands of paintings.
And this is Sidney Nolan that we're talking about.
Sidney Nolan was the same. Mm. And the trouble is with Arthur, like Sid, he loved everything he did. It was the whole mass of it was sort of indivisible. So one had to meet the challenge of being selective, which is a curator's job. Yeah. A curator is an editor, basically. So
now, Barry, when we were having a little chat before, you had a wonderful sort of example, a way of seeing the role of your curator.
Well, Arthur was the first artist who I found almost resistant to discussing selection, the selection process. He thought everything was important. And I mean, I almost had a nervous breakdown in the early part of the exhibition preparing it. But I used to go and see him at Bundanon and tell him what I had in mind, that I had this sort of spine running through the exhibition, which was chronological, and we picked the best ones from each period. But every time I went to see him, he would have a pile of photographs and transparencies saying, all these paintings are important to me. They're precious. Can you consider them for the exhibition? And I said, well, yes, well, I'll take them away and I'll have a look. And then I would sort of play with the selection a bit more before I came back. But then it went on and on like this. And finally, out of desperation, I just said to him, Arthur, I have to tell you something about exhibitions and curation. An exhibition is in a box. It's a box. And you can only fit so much in that box. Think of it as a suitcase. If you cram too much in, you ruin the contents. And his eyes lit up that after all this time, he sort of got it straight away. He said, yes, well, of course. I said, people are not going to be able to take away an engagement with your essential talent or genius if you put too much in. And I realized that he'd never really understood that.
Thank you, Barry, for that wonderful anecdote. It's something that we could have never heard from anybody else, so thank you. Now, this exhibition is of Arthur Boyd's landscapes, but why landscapes?
Because he declared himself from day one, when he was 12 years old and started his early paintings, that he wanted to be a landscape painter like his grandparents. And make drawings of landscape like his father did, Merrick, to decorate his pottery, like his mother. And she made wonderful landscape paintings in a very, very vigorous, modernist manner. So the models were there, set up in his family, to be a landscape painter. And he often declared that. And one of the surprises to me for this show was the early work that kept in drawers in storage at Bundanon. I was quite amazed by it. They pulled them out and they were quite dirty with yellowing varnish and lifting paint and buckled canvases. And one of the joys of doing any retrospective is the resurrection process. You know, you have a budget for a conservator. And these early paintings by Arthur, we're talking 1932, 1933 to late, until as late as 1939, were all restored and cleaned up. And suddenly we had these jewels on the wall. And I remembered Arthur said, in that early work, it's the closest I have been to a state of heaven. And I tried to channel Vincent van Gogh. And interesting, on this program, we've heard a lot of talk of van Gogh. And Van Gogh was described by Kenneth Clark as creating rhapsodic engagements with the light. And it's very evident in these early works by Arthur Boyd in the exhibition. And I thought, okay, this is where we start our exhibition. And in a way, that's how we finish it. Because he, when he bought the property at the Shoalhaven, he continued with the same kind of vision of landscape. Now, in between, of course, there's another Arthur Boyd who's into the dark, disturbing aspect of the human condition. And so I always describe him as a pluralist artist, that he looked at the light and the ecstasy of space and air and so forth. But on the other hand, he was not afraid really to confront the dark side. Yeah. And a bit of the dark side comes through in this exhibition.
Oh, yes, for sure. Barry, it is such a pleasure to speak with you. I hope that you can come back on the programme as well to speak more. I mean, you have such an enormous knowledge about so many Australian, particularly artists. So thank you very much for making the time to come on the show.
It's a pleasure.
Barry Pearce, Emeritus Curator of Australian Art at the Art Gallery of New South Wales and the Curator of Arthur Boyd, Landscape of the Soul, Paintings from the Bundanon Trust. You can see it now at the National Art School in Sydney until the 9th of March, and then it's touring until 2021 around New South Wales, Queensland, and Victoria.